This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville and Gillespie.
How do you measure success? Chances are productive fields, a happy family, and a secure future are key parts in the equation. And just as you depend on yourself to take care of the family and farm, you can depend on Farm Credit to help you with your finance needs. For 96 years, we've been helping farm families and agribusinesses maintain the formula for success. Our experience has helped us develop a wide range of credit and financial products and services that you can use to keep your farm running more efficiently and profitably. Nobody understands the financial needs of farming better than Farm Credit. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farming operations. Call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM or find us online at fcsillinois.com. Farm Credit, providing the financial products farmers want with the service you deserve.
Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville and Gillespie offers vaccines, and the best part, no appointment or prescription is needed. If you or a loved one are on Medicare, influenza and pneumonia vaccines will be billed at no cost to you. Michelle's Pharmacy also offers other adult vaccinations like Zostavax for shingles. Protect yourself today. Get your vaccination at Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville and Gillespie. Call Carlinville 854-4022 or Gillespie at 839-9901. Michelle's Pharmacy, where delivery to your home or office is always free.
It's 10 minutes after 6 on this Tuesday morning. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, July wheat trading at 634 and a half, up 4. September wheat trading at 653, up 4 and a half. July corn now trading at 591 and 3 quarter, down a quarter. September corn trading at 535 and 3 quarter, down 4 and 3 quarter. July soybeans now trading at 1428 and 3 quarter, up 4. August beans now trading at 1401 and a quarter, up 2 and a quarter. The overnight crude oil market, 22 cents lower at 82.48. The Brent crude, 55 cents lower at 97.45. The August gold contract, $5.10 lower at $1,591.70. The U.S. dollar index, 0.124 lower at 82.391. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat closed at 630 and a half. That was up a quarter. September wheat closed at 648 and a quarter, up a quarter. December wheat closed at 671 and three quarter, down a penny. July corn yesterday closed at 592, down 5 and a half. September corn closed at 540 and a half, down 10 and a half, and December corn closed at 534, that was down a dime. July soybeans yesterday closed at 1424 and three quarter, down 1 and a half. August beans closed at 1399, down 1 and 1 half, and September beans closed at 1361, that was down a penny. July soybean meal yesterday closed at 428, that was down 18. August meal closed at 417.20, down 18. September meal closed at 404.70, down 16. July soybean oil yesterday closed at 49.74, up 28. August oil closed at 49.94, up 27. September oil closed at 50.15, up 26. July oats yesterday closed at 295 and a quarter, down 8. September oats closed at 291 and a half, that was down 11 and a quarter. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois Kinder Grain prices were mixed on Monday afternoon. Fund selling at the Board of Trade helped to push corn futures lower. Weekly export inspection figures for corn were also under trade expectations. Many traders were also evening positions before the release of the updated supply-demand forecast by the USDA to be released on Tuesday morning. In central Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 4-7 lower at 615 to 628. Soybeans down 1-3 at 1407 to 1425, and the wheat bids ended mixed, ranging from 625 to 629. In the southern part of the state, show corn bids were mostly 3 to 6 cents weaker at 619 to 637. Soybeans ended steady to 2 cents lower at 1410 to 1437, while the wheat bids ended mixed in a range of 611 to 636. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills reported those corn bids down 4 to 7 cents, ranging from 619 to 626. Soybeans ended mixed, ranging from 1422 to 1424, while cash wheat bids also ended mixed on Monday, ranging from 610 to 628. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 6 cents lower at 632 to 638. Soybean bids ended steady to 4 cents weaker at 1439 to 1445, and the wheat bids ended steady to 2 cents stronger at 610 to 620. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed the producer corn bids mixed, ranging from 643 to 648. These same elevators also placed their soybean prices mixed with quotations at 1455 to 1456. Soft red winter wheat gained 9 cents on Monday, ranging from 639 to 640, while Milo bids ended 4 cents lower for the day at 559 to 560. That is our country grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, June hogs closed at 93.32, up 30. July hogs closed at 93.67, up 75. August hogs closed at 92.70, up 25. June cattle yesterday closed at 119.50, down 37. August cattle closed at 120.30, down 52. October cattle closed at 124.82, down 42. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at 160.25, up 87. September feeders closed at 161.42, up 90. And October feeders closed at 162.17, up 72. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Monday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 30,086 head today. They traded 67 cents lower from 87.01 to 91.01 with a weighted average of 87.14. And in Illinois today, there was 10,200 head of bears and gilts sold. Primal cutout value for a loin was $2.59 higher today at $87.39. Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar Report, sows traded steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 42 to 44, 4 to 5 weights from $43 to $47, and over 500 pounds from 46 to 49. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts traded steady again today from $56 to $61. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Monday, hogs are at 386,000 on the day. That's down 22,000 from last week and down 8,000 from last year. Cattle are at 130,000 on the day. That's up 7,000 from last week and up 1,000 from the same time last year. The USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 137 fabricated loads and 54 trim loads. Choice carcasses were 75 cents higher at $197.69, while selects advanced a dollar and a penny at $183.66, leaving the choice select spread at $14.02. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey. Now back to the main studios of WSMI.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, 142 up a quarter. For block cheese, 161 and a half unchanged. For barrel cheese, 152 and a quarter unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Monday, $15.56. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for June, $6.20. For July, $5.63. Corn delivered to Scottville for June, $6.20. For July, $5.55. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for June, $14.18. For July, $13.80. Wheat delivered to Scottville for June, $6.05. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again, corn at Scottville and Greenfield, $6.20. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $14.18. Wheat at Scottville, $6.05. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
We know that every minute M&M Service Company can save you on the farm means more time to spend with your kids. That's why M&M Service is your one-stop source for farming, information technology, value-enhanced grain programs, diesel fuel, propane, grain handling systems, and so much more. At M&M Service, they are dedicated to making your time in the fields more productive, more profitable, and more efficient. Because they're a family operation too, they understand how important it is to spend more time with your kids. For more information, visit their website, M&MService.com. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Across mid-Illinois for your Tuesday, sunny skies, high temperatures in the low 80s, northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies for tonight, low temperatures in the low 50s. Tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny skies, the high in the low 80s. Your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday, clear and warmer. Lows in the mid to the upper 60s, high temperatures in the upper 80s. Right now at the Weather Center, north winds at 8 miles per hour, the barometric pressure steady, our temperature 63 degrees. Over the past 24 hours, WSMI Weather Watcher, the Lang family of Coffeen, an inch of rain, 4/10 of an inch here at the Weather Center. And once again, 63 degrees under clear skies. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Imagine how it feels to be the big 175. Sloan's and John Deere is celebrating its birthday to make things easier on you and your bank account. Enjoy 0% financing for 60 months on John Deere 1 Series tractors. The 1 Series start at $11,296. Offer ends July 31st, 2012. Subject to approved credit on John Deere financial installment plan, visit any of Sloan's 11 Central Illinois locations for details.
Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. First of all, in our farm news today, here's the weekly crop report from the Illinois Ag Statistics Service. We join Brad Schwab.
Statewide temperatures averaged a near normal 69 degrees. However, rainfall accumulations were well below normal at just 9/100 of an inch, which was 81/100 of an inch below normal for the 7-day period ending Sunday, June 10th. These dry conditions provided 6.7 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies declined to 26% very short, 52% short, and only 22% adequate. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile has also been depleted and now stands at 24% very short, 48% short, and only 28% adequate. The driest crop reporting districts, based on topsoil moisture supplies, were the two southern districts, both reporting 70% in the very short category. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 733, which was 105 units, or 17%, ahead of the historic average. Corn growth continued at a healthy pace last week with a reported average height of 29 inches. A growth of 10 inches in just 1 week, and this height is compared to 13 inches a year ago and 16 for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn height was the East Southeastern District, with an average height of 42 inches. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in 56% good or excellent condition, down 10 percentage points from last week. Soybean emergence advanced to 96% compared to 69% a year ago and 65% for the 5-year average. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 50% good or excellent condition, down 10 percentage points from last week. The soft red winter wheat crop continued to mature at a record pace with 97% reported turning yellow, compared to 65% a year ago and 56% for the five-year average. 74% was reported ripe, and this compares with only 14% a year ago and 11% for the five-year average. And the recent warm, dry conditions were near ideal for harvest, with 53% of the crop reported in the bins by week's end. Historically, harvest has only reached 1% by this date. Sorghum planting advanced to 82% complete, compared to 62% a year ago and 50% for the five-year average. Pastures and alfalfa were rated in fair to good condition, with a second cutting of alfalfa reported at 29%, and this can be compared to 3% last year and 4% for the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
On the AM Live program Monday morning, we talked to Don Schaefer, the Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. We talked about the just-concluded legislative session in Springfield and how funding for transportation fared.
From the transportation standpoint, I will say that we're very happy from transportation funding. I think I talked about last month when I was here. We talked about the fact that there seemed to be a renewed raid on the road funds. In other words, taking more money during these tough fiscal times and using that money for everything else. Well, they were pretty successful, I think, is that we were talking, worried about them taking like $40 million out for workers' comp costs for state agencies. It ends up they've only going to take about $10 million out of there. So that's $30 million that's been preserved in the road fund. The big thing, though, is that the bottom line was that there's about $120 million that they wanted to divert out of the road funds that we lobbied strongly against. So that's $120 million that can be used for highway construction repair, goes to local jurisdictions for their purposes. And that's critical because of the fact that the money is so tight right now, and them to for any idea that you think you could take more money out of the road fund and you know, leave us high and dry was not a pretty thought.
No, it wasn't. Now, on the legislative process as it is right now, are these cuts, proposed cuts, restorations, is that all carved in stone now?
It's pretty well carved in. Yeah, I think it's carved in stone. I don't think the governor would take his pen to any of this, because one of the key components that we worked on was to get the final piece of the capital plan that's been out there to get what they call bond authorization. See, you can have a capital plan, but if you don't have any money to back it up, it's not worth anything. We worked very strongly, a number of groups worked very strongly to get the bond authorization. I would have told you that there was no way that we were going to see bond authorization this year 2 days before the end of session. Last day of session, last day and a half of session, we ended up with $1.6 billion, which is critical because 1.6, yeah, it's a big number, but what does that big number mean? Well, it means, for example, we're talking about probably about 6,500 jobs in terms of road building, construction, repair. You know, the railroad gets a piece of the action. The railroads do. Transit and rail gets a piece of it. State and local roads gets a big piece of it. And this is money that trickles down to the locals. And it does go for these projects that were highly touted in the capital plan last year and the year before. And again, I mean, you know, we need bricks and mortar. We need road work. And everyone knows our infrastructure is in bad shape. This $1.6 billion is the actual funding mechanism to do this. And this is probably, I would say, for any transportation group, this is really good news.
And you mentioned this trickles down. This even, like, say, buys oil and chip at the township level.
It sure
right?
does, yeah. It won't buy oil and chip directly, but what it does is does provide funding for other things so that money that should go to oil and chip is not diverted for other purposes. And you talk to any township road commissioner or any county highway engineer, they'll tell you that, money's tight. Don't divert any money because, we only get so much. And, especially when you get down to the township level, where a lot of that is funded by property taxes, actually. You know, any diversion of any money that the locals get is catastrophic for them. Because there you're talking just a couple thousand dollars, but it could be everything they have.
That was yesterday's guest on the AM Live program, the Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer. In other farm news, Conley Nelson is the new president of the National Pork Board. During the World Pork Expo, Nelson was elected to lead the 15-member Pork Checkoff Board. Nelson has always been involved in animal agriculture.
I grew up in north central Iowa on a hog dairy and cattle operation and crops, and kind of that's where I started, you know, getting involved with agriculture. I bought the family farm, and so on that farm I built a 4,400 head wean to finish site, and so I still have that. And then I also manage Murphy Brown's Midwest operations, general manager of Midwest operations, and live in Algona, Iowa.
Mr. Nelson says every year has its challenges. However, this is a particularly difficult time for the industry, with people outside of production agriculture trying to dictate handling practices in pork production.
The main focus point we are really concerned with right now is, you know, all these announcements by food companies and retailers on production practices like the gestation stalls, which we feel is sound and has proven and should be a choice of producers. We've got to get that choice program back in a producer's hands.
Nelson succeeds Everett Faulkner of Richards, Missouri, who will remain on the executive committee as the immediate past president. The National Pork Board also elected Karen Richter of Montgomery, Minnesota, as vice president, Dale Norton of Bronson, Michigan, as treasurer. For more information, go to pork.org. Farmers in Illinois can find out exactly which herbicides won't kill the water hemp in their fields. Todd Gleason has more on why the state's Soybean Association has funded a screening project at the University of Illinois.
Water hemp. It was once a weed farmers in the state of Illinois didn't even know about. At times long gone, and now a glyphosate-resistant water hemp is marching northward through the state, and most times it's resistant to many more herbicides, says University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager.
I think across a fairly large area of central and north central Illinois that the water hemp populations that are again resistant to one or more herbicide families are going to become more and more common.
The evolution of herbicide-resistant water hemp is spreading northward, as evidenced by the number of samples the University of Illinois has screened from those parts of the state. Again this season, the Illinois Soybean Association has funded the screening process. Now, farmers can have water hemp samples screened at the Urbana-Champaign campus free of charge. A form to fill out and complete directions can be found on the IPM Bulletin website at bulletin.ipm.illinois.edu. The process starts by spraying a field, either corn or soybeans, with glyphosate, and then sending in 5 water hemp plant samples that did not die.
Each plant that sampled should be placed in an individual Ziploc bag and then mailed in to us. We really don't need the entire plant. Really, all we need is about the top 1 to 2 inches of growth. That part of the plant that has the newest, the youngest leaf tissue is where we'll actually use, or what we'll actually use to do the molecular biology techniques.
The 5 samples from one field, each in its own Ziploc bag, should be overnighted to the University of Illinois. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
In other farm news, on this Tuesday morning, 4 Illinois cooperatives appeared on the United States Department of Agriculture's list of the nation's 100 largest agricultural cooperatives. The 4 included Bloomington-based Growmark with $5.1 billion in revenue that ranked 4th in the nation, Carlinville-based Prairie Farms Dairy at $1.5 billion, Champaign-based Premier Cooperative at $308 million, and Effingham Equity at $278 million. The Environmental Protection Agency is said to be using drone aircraft to spy on cattle ranchers in Iowa and Nebraska. EPA defends its right to use aerial surveillance in areas that have high numbers of impaired watersheds and concentrated animal feeding operations, justifying the surveillance in part by saying the aircraft used are not drones, but four-seat Cessnas. While private pilots are at the controls, EPA confirms that EPA staff are on board. The EPA's Chris Lancaster says the photos collected on flyovers are reviewed only by EPA staff, and this is entirely an EPA initiative not associated with any other environmental group. Since 2010, there have been 18 concentrated animal feeding operation flyovers in Nebraska and Iowa, which have led to 8 farmers receiving penalty orders, mostly in Iowa. A bill has been approved by the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee that would prohibit the Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers from finalizing and implementing 2011 guidance to clarify the scope of Clean Water Act jurisdiction. House Resolution 4965 would also block the two agencies from using the guidance as the basis for promulgating any rules or issuing any decisions. Finally, in our farm news this morning, the Chicago Board of Trade has received the okay to start open outcry grain trading early on the day's major agricultural reports are issued. After a 10-day review of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Group's plan to begin pit trading at 7:20 Central Time, when the United States Department of Agriculture issues major reports, rather than the traditional opening time of 9:30. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission did not object to the change. The change takes effect this morning. The United States Department of Agriculture releases a crop production report this morning at 7:30. It will mark the first time the markets are open for a key USDA report. So once again, open outcry grain trading on the Chicago Board of Trade begins this morning at 7:20 Central Time. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, July wheat now trading at 637.5, that's up 7. September wheat now trading at 655.5, up 7.25. July corn now trading at 593, that's up 1. September corn trading at 537.25, down 3.25. July soybeans now trading at 1432.5, up 7.75. August beans trading at 1404.25, and that is up 5.25. We'll keep you updated with the commodity markets throughout the day on both WSMI, WSMI FM 106. The overnight crude oil market, 22 cents lower at $82.48. The Brent crude, 55 cents lower at $97.45. The August gold contract, $5.10 lower at $1,591.70. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.